I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Young for All is generating support to advocate for making the Midtown Complete Street pilot project a permanent fixture. The group was formed in the summer of 2022 to rally support from its community, advocate groups, and organizations. During the height of COVID-19, Toronto City Council approved the installation of the temporary Complete Street pilot between Yonge Street and Davisville Avenue. This was part of the wider pandemic mobility recovery strategy. Through city initiatives like Active TO and Cafe TO, Yonge Street was transformed into a more accessible, pedestrian-friendly area without completely ignoring drivers. According to Young for All, the pilot project provided urgent support to local businesses and reconnected Midtown with the larger city cycling network. Today, Robert Richardson of Young for All discusses the group's current efforts to make the pilot project permanent, as well as how it has been a positive addition to the community and for its residents.
My name is Robin Richardson, and I'm a volunteer with Young for All. I'm also a resident of Midtown. I live quite close to where the Midtown Young Complete Street pilot project has gone in. I'm a parent of three kids who go to school in the area, and I also am active in Safe Streets advocacy.
Okay, great. And for listeners who are new to Young for All, can you tell me more about you and the group, please?
Of course. So late last spring, a group of us who live nearby and are interested in things like safer streets for pedestrians and bike lanes and better access for transit users too, heard that there was some opposition to the Midtown Young Complete Street pilot that had gone in. So to take a step back, as part of the Active TO program that the city started in response to the COVID pandemic, both to support local businesses and also to give residents an opportunity to get out and reconnect with each other and get some exercise in a safe way. As listeners will probably know, the city did a lot of things under the umbrella of Active TO. So those included some temporary road closures, the addition of some bike lanes, and some traffic calming in neighborhoods as well, so that there was just more space for people to get out and get exercise, whether it was roller skating or pushing a stroller or using a wheelchair or bicycling or walking. And those programs were incredibly popular. And then as vaccination ramped up and some of the closures started to come to an end, a lot of those facets of the Active TO program went away, particularly the neighborhood closures. Those were the first to go. And then the road closures down on Lakeshore and things like that, those started to be terminated. But some of the bike lanes and more permanent upgrades were kept. So, for example, there were extensions to the Bloor Street and Danforth Complete Streets that were made permanent, and the new bike lanes on University Avenue, which had been installed specifically to make it easier for healthcare workers in the hospitals along that way to get to and from work, especially in the earlier days of the pandemic when people did not feel safe taking the TTC. So those were all made permanent, but the piece of it that runs on Yonge Street from Bloor to Davisville, when it came time for council to vote on whether to make that permanent or not, they decided that there needed to be more study. So they extended the pilot from last April until January. so that more data could be collected, more community consultation could be done, and some changes could be made to address some issues that had come up with like some traffic pinch points and things like that. So when we learned that there was some opposition to making this pilot permanent when that additional pilot time was finished, we thought, well, we love this new infrastructure. It has really enlivened our neighborhood and made it safer for people both to shop and to dine, but also to commute as, you know, people started going back into the office to work. Not everybody was working from home anymore. Schools reopened. And we thought it's critical that we keep all of this infrastructure in place and in fact, maybe even make it more protected and extend it so it connects to more parts of the active transportation network. So we joined together and we started a little group that we call Young for All. So the name is pretty obvious. We want Young Street to be safe for all of us. So the goal of Young for All was to represent the many residents, both those in the immediate neighborhood and also those from farther away in Toronto who often would come and visit those restaurants and other shops and services on Yonge. We wanted to make sure that their voices were being heard as well as the voices of the people who did not want any space taken away from driving and given to these other uses. So we started a petition. And we started talking to individuals. We spoke to thousands of people up and down the Yonge Street corridor. We also went to community events nearby, and we listened to what people like about the complete street. And if they were so inclined, we added their name to our petition, asking Mayor Tory and the rest of council to make this project a permanent piece of our neighborhood and a permanent link in the city's active transportation network. So as of the end of January, when the project went to the Infrastructure and Environment Committee for a vote, we had over 8,000 signatures on our petition, of which 70% of those lived within 5 kilometers of the pilot area, and in fact, 30% of the petition signers lived within just 3 kilometers. So, you know, a walk or an easy bike ride. And that was consistent with what we were seeing. Most of the people who use the infrastructure live nearby, but not all of them. It's also popular with people from other parts of the city who came for special events or to go to a restaurant or to do some shopping, or were just passing through on their way to their jobs downtown.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting when you talk about like the support. I know you showed me with the petitions that a lot of people have been signing it, a lot of the letters being given to the mayor and to other city officials. I'm also interested in learning more about the support that you've also cultivated from advocates and other organizations. Can you tell me more about that, please?
Certainly. So, of course, the most obvious people to support a complete street would be road safety organizations, because a complete street is safer for everyone who uses the road. I mean, the obvious piece that everybody thinks of is the bike lanes. And of course, bike lanes, especially ones that are protected with concrete or planter boxes or other physical separation, those make it a lot safer to ride a bike through. And we heard from a ton of people who said that they never would have ridden their bikes on Yonge Street before. By the way, I'm one of those. Like I mentioned earlier, I have 3 kids. There's not a chance in this world I would have taken my kids biking on Yonge Street before the bike lanes went in. But afterwards, it felt safe to do so. And it felt welcoming to do so. Here's a space that's dedicated to this purpose. It felt good to know that the city valued my family, whether we rode a bike or drove a car or walked or took the TTC. So organizations like Friends and Families for Safe Streets and TTC Riders, the Toronto Community Bikeways Coalition, Cycle Toronto, Walk Toronto, the Bike Brigade, all of those organizations and others were quick signers and supporters of our efforts. because they were perfectly aligned with their goals of reducing deaths and serious injuries on our roadway. So what's interesting is that bike lanes don't just make it safer for bicyclists, which is the obvious win. They also make it safer for people on the sidewalk because there's then some separation between the sidewalk space and the motor vehicle traffic. And that goes for patrons of the sidewalk cafes as well. I'm sure people have noticed that sometimes those cafes go in on streets that don't have a bike lane, and sometimes they go in on streets which do, such as the Danforth and Bloor, and it is so much nicer when there's just that extra buffer of space, keeping you away from those loud rumbling engines and the exhaust pipes and all those kinds of things. It's nice to have a peaceful and non-polluting method of transportation that's going right by you instead of cars and trucks. What might be counterintuitive to people is that a bike lane actually makes the road safer for drivers as well. The other kind of group that very quickly signed on were the climate change and environmental groups. So the David Suzuki Foundation, the Toronto Environmental Alliance, Climate Fast, other groups like that also see the benefit of a complete street because motor vehicle traffic, private motor vehicle traffic, accounts for about 30 to 40% of any given household's contribution to climate change. Home heating is another big one, but that was out of scope for this project. But the easiest thing that most people can do to reduce the pollution that they cause and their contribution to climate change is to simply drive less. And bicycling and walking are, of course, zero emission options, and taking the TTC is excellent as well. All of those things have a very light carbon footprint. So if you make it safe and easy for people to choose those modes of transportation, you will get more people trying that out. You will get people like my family who have access to a car choosing to use it less often because it's appealing and easy and safe to go by bike or to walk or to catch the bus. So environmental organizations were keen to sign on. And then we also had support from a lot of local community groups and residents associations because they were hearing from their members that they really liked the new life that was brought to the neighborhood. They liked feeling safer. They liked it that traffic was quieter and calmer on Yonge Street, and it was easier for them to do more of their shopping and dining and other errands without having to take their car everywhere. Because listen, driving in Toronto is stressful. There's a lot of traffic. It can be hard to find parking. There is road rage to contend with. And it feels great not to have to get in the car for every little outing you need to do. Even if you do own a car and you might choose to use it sometimes, it's always nice to have choices.
Mm-hmm. And you've touched on this already a little bit, but, you know, we're not quite out of the pandemic yet. It's a bit of a transition time. So how are you still communicating to residents in Midtown to continue to support local both in the shops and in the services?
That's a great question, and I appreciate you making that point because sometimes people talk about the pandemic like it's over, and it really is not over. We can see that very clearly if we just look at our hospitals, right? So we did most of our communication either outdoors, so quite a lot of standing on street corners where there's lots of nice fresh air and the risk of exposing someone to COVID or anything else is very low. And we also did a lot of social media communication. We had different team members who looked after our Twitter feed and our Facebook page and our Instagram feed, and tried to just post really positive, engaging content about the benefits that we were seeing and giving people opportunities to get engaged. Also on our petition, people had the opportunity to give us their email addresses and then opt in if they wished to receiving further communications from us. And most people did choose to hear more from us as the campaign went on. So we were able to do things, for example, in University Rosedale, the new counselor, Diane Sachs, created a survey where she wanted to hear from her constituents what they thought of the Midtown Young Complete Street. But you would only get that if you had signed up to receive her mailings. And because she's such a new counselor, there wasn't a very high subscription rate yet. So we shared that with all the people who had signed our petition who lived in that ward to give them the opportunity to comment on that survey. And she did share with us that it was very helpful that we had helped her get that message out. We also shared it on social media so that we could reach even more people.
Mm-hmm. Something you also mentioned as well is accessibility. So I guess with keeping things local, with increasing accessibility, as well as encouraging more people to go cycling and go walking, how was like this kind of communicated as well as like a new normal of this is how the community will be like moving forward and this is what we would like to be permanently?
How is it communicated? I think we just sort of asked people to consider, because most folks, you know, have experience with Young Street before this went in. The pilot is only about 18 months old. So whether you live nearby or you live elsewhere in the city, most people had gone to Young Street before this and could remember what it was like, or they could just compare it to other nearby streets, like say Bayview, which has a similar retail strip, but does not enjoy complete street infrastructure. And, you know, we just put it to them to think about which is a more pleasant experience for you. You know, where would you rather sit at a patio and enjoy lunch? Where would you rather take your kids to school, you know, on their scooter or their bicycle? How would you like to get to the park that you can access now by bike or on foot? And so that was sort of our messaging. And we also shared a lot of quotes. Our petition had a space for comments, and a lot of people commented on what it was that they liked about the new design. So we shared those as well to sort of spark some conversation. And, you know, speaking of accessibility, I would like to point out that, you know, we call them bike lanes, but truthfully, they're more like mobility lanes because they are used by lots of people beyond just cyclists. So I've seen, for example, people running in them when the sidewalk was crowded. I've seen quite a few people using motorized wheelchairs and other mobility devices. I've seen kids on kick scooters. All kinds of different users are made safer in the bike lanes. And then people on the sidewalk are in turn safer because the people moving a little more quickly are less likely to feel like they have to take to the sidewalks to keep themselves safe. The other piece of the complete street that I am excited to see more of are the level boarding platforms for buses, both for Wheel-Trans and for standard TTC buses. So these look like sort of a ramp in the bike lane, and at the top of the ramp is a nice flat platform that's at the same level as the sidewalk. And so there's much less of a step up into the bus or the Wheel-Trans van. In fact, it's easier than for a kneeling bus or a Wheel-Trans van with the extendable ramp that comes out. It's easier for people to access. And it has the side benefit that it keeps illegally parked vehicles out of the bike lane as well, because on the street side, it has a vertical edge. And so, you know, you can't just pull in there while you run in to grab something. You have to use legal parking spaces for that. So that also adds to the safety of the street.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, right now you did mention your deputation to the city. What's the communication been like right now between everybody who wants to keep this pilot going and the city?
Well, we have certainly encouraged our supporters to communicate often and in a positive manner with the city. We really want to emphasize how thankful we are for the pilot project and how keen we are to see it made permanent. So we've had a few letter writing campaigns so that people can write directly to Mayor Tory, to the members of the Infrastructure and Environment Committee, to their own local councillor. Those are all really important avenues for communication. And then, of course, many of us, over 60 supporters, took the time to either come down to City Hall or to go online and make a deputation on Monday stating, you know, why the complete street is important to them and to their organization, if they are with an organization. But the communication has not only been one way. The Transportation Department, and particularly the Cycling and Pedestrian Projects Unit within that, which designed the complete street, has been in frequent communication, not just with Young for All, but with other groups in the community, the BIAs, the residents associations, and has actively sought feedback on what's working and what could be improved. So, for example, very early on when the complete street was put in place, there were a number of spots where left-turning vehicles would hold up traffic behind them because there wasn't space to get by them. And so very, very quickly, the Transportation Department was able to put in little extra left turn lanes so that those vehicles that were turning had their own space to wait and through traffic could get by. And that made a huge difference in terms of the traffic buildups that were happening. And furthermore, the city has done an incredible job of data collection and analysis and reporting. On the city's website, they have what they call the data dashboard with three different sets of data taken over different time periods. And then within each time period, they took data on car travel, on TTC travel, cyclists, pedestrians, every kind of user at different times of the day, different days of the week to really see, you know, how many people are using the street and is it flowing well. And what they found was that the project was achieving all of the goals that they had set out for it to do. So cycling and pedestrian traffic was up on the order of 150%, a little bit more, a little bit less here and there, but about that much. So a substantial increase over what it had been like before the pilot went in. And in fact, even before the pandemic, back when things felt normal, right? And when Yonge Street didn't have this infrastructure. What they also found is that car and truck traffic on average had a delay of less than 70 seconds measured from Bloor to Davisville. So about a minute of extra travel time, I think is a pretty fair trade-off for safe and efficient travel for all the other users of the road. We know that among downtown residents, only about half have regular access to a car. Most of the rest of them are getting around on the TTC or walking or cycling or a combination of all of those things. So, you know, we often talk about traffic times, but when we say traffic times, it usually only means the time of people driving their own vehicles. It doesn't usually take into account the time of all the other users of the roadway. And so I think that the really great thing about the complete street is that it makes it more efficient, easier, and as I keep saying, safer for all of the users. And it just shows that everyone is valued and everyone is welcome on Yonge Street.
Mm-hmm. And is there a definitive date then we will know when the pilot project will be permanent or not?
That's a great question. So having the approval of the Infrastructure and Environment Committee was the first very important step. And they did vote unanimously to recommend to the city that they that the full city council also approve it and make it permanent. I will just point out that Councillor Sachs, who moved the motion, also included a really important amendment, which was to take into consideration the concerns of some of the local residents who feel that there has been increased traffic on some of the cross streets as a result of the pilot project. So she did include an amendment to ask city staff to study that and make recommendations about how those streets can be made safer too, which we are fully in support of because we care about safe and accessible streets everywhere. Our campaign has been focused on this piece of Yonge because we knew that the vote was pending, but we would like to see complete street infrastructure on every arterial at least and in every neighborhood in the city, and we absolutely want the cross streets to be safe for people as well. So IEC, as I mentioned, approved the motion unanimously on Monday, and now it goes to the full city council next week. So it has been scheduled to be heard on February 7th. It is possible because, of course, the council has a lot of important issues to discuss, including the budget. It's possible that it will get pushed to another day. They are planned to meet all through the week. But we are hoping that it will be discussed on time and voted on the 7th. And we are very optimistic, given the strong recommendation from city staff and the unanimous recommendation from IEC and the broad support within the community. We are very optimistic that city council will approve it, and then we can celebrate making Midtown Yonge safe for everyone permanently.
Mm-hmm. Great. Before we go, are there any other final thoughts you'd like to add?
I will just expand on this idea that the complete street has been such a benefit to local businesses and residents, and it's also an important connection between the Bloor cycle tracks and then the new ones going in on Eglinton when and if the crosstown construction is ever finished. But it's equally important for other areas of the city to enjoy these benefits. So there are campaigns underway right now. For example, there's the Lawrence Prospect being run by a young man named Hafiz Alavi that's trying to bring complete street infrastructure to Lawrence Avenue in Scarborough. There are efforts to extend the Bloor Complete Street west all the way to the border with Etobicoke. There are efforts to extend the Danforth all the way until it finishes at the city limits, and we need to see Yonge connected at the southern end to the Yonge Tomorrow that's going in down there and also to the north. Complete streets work best when they're part of a complete network. You just get so much more use and so much more utility out of these streets when they are all connected to each other and people feel safe no matter where they go in the city.
Mm-hmm. Great. And for the listeners, how can they learn more about Yonge for All and the Midtown Complete Street Pilot Project?
Sure. So Yonge for All has a website. It's yongeforall.ca, and that's Yonge, the numeral 4, ALL.ca. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Again, it's at Yonge for All with the number 4. And the easiest way, because the city URL is kind of long and complicated, if you just Google Midtown Yonge Complete Street, the first result that comes up is the city website, which has that data dashboard I talked about and tons of other information about why Yonge was chosen. They did also consider Avenue and Mount Pleasant as alternatives. On a number of different metrics, Yonge was selected as the strongest candidate for this. And it's got renderings, it's got history of the project, and then also possibilities about what it could become after it's been made permanent.
That was Robin Richardson of Young for All. The group's petition to make the pilot project permanent received more than 8,000 signatures. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.